Back three. It's Julie Andrews' world. Sylvia just lives in it. 12 years ago, on her 18th birthday, Sylvia Lemus came onto our program and talked about her life. Her parents are immigrants, very traditional, from Mexico, and they wanted her to get married right away, have babies. But Sylvia grew up in this country, and she felt like an American girl. She wanted to go to college, get an interesting job, all that before she started a family. Here's what she said at the time.
My mom has lived in a box all her life. And I sometimes, like, once in a while, I escape from the box. And sometimes I'll just, like, you know, try to climb out. And she's, like, pushing me in, or I'm trying to, like, poke a hole in the box, and she tapes it right back up. Sometimes we get into fights, and I tell my mom, I'm like, I'm not like my cousins. I'm like, my cousins are already, like, 19, 18, and they're already pregnant and married. I'm like, is that what you want me to do with my life?
At that time, Sylvia had a perfectly clear picture of what she wanted her life to be. She'd work in a big open office with lots of computers and gadgets, doing computer animation on films like Jurassic Park and Men in Black.
You know, sitting in front of the computer and doing all these, you know, things on the computer and animating and getting really frustrated because it takes me like 6 months to do like a 5 second little scene and have like an eyebrow ring or something on, have my hair whatever color I want.
After that interview, Sylvia started hanging around her office, became an intern on her show, and then she went away to college, to a school that she chose because they teach computer animation, the Rochester Institute of Technology, in New York. She took one of our tape recorders with her and recorded now and then, tape diaries about her experience in college, and moments with her friends. We've pulled some clips from the tape, and I talked to her about it all.
So Sherry invited us to a crew party, and there's this guy named Zach who showed us to the boathouse. And oh my God, to a city girl, this was amazing. Okay, the boathouse had no lighting whatsoever. And above that, you see stars. Not city stars, like one or two, stars. A lot of stars. And I looked up and I was amazed. And the first thing I said, oh my God, look, there's a box. Apparently it's like the Big Dipper or the Little Dipper. I'm not quite sure exactly what it was. And they were kind of laughing at me because I'm like, oh my God, there's a box. You know, a box was shaped there.
Can I also get a strawberry smoothie with whipped cream? Thank you.
It's Scotty.
What exactly is that? You know how uncultured I am.
I know you're from Chicago, so.
Just telling you people that everything here is universal.
The biscotti is just like a crunchy biscuit type thing. So those have chocolate, some of them have almonds, some of them are chocolate altogether.
Don't you remember I brought them in with my fruit roll-ups? Yeah, but I didn't taste them.
I know, but you asked me what it is, like if you didn't know.
Sylvia, do you feel like your friends at school understand you?
A lot of times, no. I don't think they do. Like, I've never seen the Sound of Music, or something, is that what it's called?
Yeah.
Or something in a chocolate factory. I've never seen
Willy Wonka in the chocolate factory.
Yeah, I've never seen any of that stuff. And I'm just used to, like, you know, going to an all-ghetto school where everybody speaks Spanglish and I listen, you know, and like loud music is blaring outside of our window like 24/7, and they just like, they're like, oh my gosh, she's so different. She's not like what we grew up with, you know.
Where's your sister?
My sister's that little one with the little New Kids on the Block shirt. That's when she was like six. Now
no,
she's 13.
Do you mean, like real pictures of her?
Yeah, I do have real pictures of her.
I want to see her.
Why? That's her right there. That's my brother and that's me.
Yeah.
These are my grandparents in Mexico.
Oh, wow, they look so original. That looks so cool.
They look original? What do you mean original?
I don't know. They look cool. I like their outfits and everything.
Traditional. Yeah, that's very Mexican outfits.
Yeah, that's what I'm looking for. Traditional, not original.
Have there been classes that you've really loved?
I liked my visual anthropology class because, like, for the first time in a really long time, I felt like I can do what everybody else did, was study the night before and get the exact same grade. Like, that was the only class where I felt like I didn't have to try as hard and get less grades. Like, I tried exactly the same as they did, and I got the exact same grade. I loved that class.
You're saying you loved it because it was kind of easy.
Yeah, and I loved it because we had to do an ethnographic film, and we had to go. We decided to shoot drag queens, and it was, like, the best thing ever. Like, I went out, like, all the time. Like, the last 2 weeks, we went out all the time to shoot them at, at the Miss Rochester, Miss Gay Rochester pageant, and we shot them at their clubs and them dressing, and I came home drunk all the time. It was, like, the funnest thing ever. I think that's why I like the class so much, because I always got drunk at the end.
How hard were your actual classes for you?
They were hard. It just seemed like no matter how hard I tried, I was never able to compete with them. Like, I think a lot of it has to do with that. It's obvious that they went to better schools than I did. And I went to, like, you know, I went to, like, I don't even bother telling them that I was one of, like, the top kids in my class. I'm like, what are they going to say? You know, like, you were? Like, yeah. What the hell happened?
Here's a recording that you made right after you got back to school, after going home to Chicago for Christmas break.
January 2nd, I went to my cousin's baby shower. Everybody was there when we got there. So I had to go around the whole entire place, you know, greeting everybody, the handshake, the kiss, the hug, the kiss, the handshake, blah, blah, blah. It took me like 15 minutes to greet everybody because there was at least like 50 or 60 women. So I sat down with all my aunts and cousins, and everybody in that table was married with kids. I was the only one without a child or a husband. And so we just like, it was kind of bad. I mean, I just noticed, like, nobody was in college. Nobody was, you know, going for a profession, you know. I don't know what to do with them. I really don't. And I hate it. I hate that, you know, I spend most of my time, like at Rochester, I spend most of my time wanting to be Mexican and wanting to hang out with Hispanic people. And then when I go to my family, I can't. It's like I spend half of my time defending where I'm from and where I was raised and why I was raised the way I was. And then I'm stuck here. And I'm basically defending something I don't even feel I'm part of.
Hey, Sylvia, one of the things that happened during your first year when you were away at school is that at some point you came back home and you went to the baptism of a baby who was the baby of a cousin of yours.
Wait, hold on. I'm trying to remember which baptism it was.
You have a cousin whose husband's in construction, and she works, and they have a three-room house.
Oh, yeah, Cristina. Ugh. Okay, so I go to her house. Her house. She's 19, and she has a house. I go to her house, and she lives next in a very nice neighborhood, not that far away from mine. And she works for a bank, and she makes pretty good money. And she only has a high school degree. She got married when she was, like, I think she got married, like, 2 weeks shy of her 17th birthday. She had her kid when she was 19. And so she's having her daughter's baptism, and she has this beautiful house, like, this, like, three-bedroom attic and basement house. And it's well-decorated. And I think I'm like, hello, like, this is exactly the things that they tell you not to do, because this is not going to happen. If you get married, you're not going to have a house, because out of a high school degree, you don't really make that much money. But I'm like, why are they able to buy a house? And all I keep thinking is, oh my God, I live in Rochester. I'm going to be living in an apartment the size of a closet with a roommate, you know? It was just like a backslap. Like, you know, I was already having problems with school. Then I come here and it's like, oh, look, we lied.
Did you feel like all of us who have ever told you that it would be a good idea to go away to college and get a degree?
You guys are liars.
Really?
No, I'm just joking. Like, sometimes I'm like, I think they lied to me. I think they did. But I know, like, the feelings I'm having right now are just because I'm having problems. But at this point, I don't see the happiness I saw when I was in high school. Like, remember when I told you? I pictured to have, like, this huge, like, office with toys and computers and stuff like that.
Yeah.
I don't see that anymore. Like, right now it seems like it's a scam that was fooled into something that I was naive enough to think that this, that dream could actually happen, you know?
Sylvia, do you think that if you had quit the life that you're having right now and try to move back to the neighborhood where you grew up and meet somebody and have babies and have a house, do you think
I'd
you could
miserable.
Even do that? You'd be miserable.
No. I'd be miserable.
Why?
Because that's not the life I want. It's like, that's not the life I want, but this life isn't, like, being very accepted to me, you know?
So you're kind of stuck.
Yeah. I am, aren't I? I am stuck.
Well, time passed again. 2 years after that interview was recorded, Sylvia graduated from the limbo that was RIT and moved to a different limbo in Los Angeles, trying to break into films or TV. But then Sylvia missed home. She decided that being close to her family was the most important thing to her. So she's back in Chicago now. It's 12 years since that first interview. She's married, in a house, working in marketing, and I gotta say, really, really happy.
Perteneciste a una raza antigua de pies descalzos y de sueños blancos.
Our program is produced today by Blue Cheveny and myself, with Alex Bloomberg, Jonathan Goldstein, and Starley Kine. Our senior producer is Julie Snyder. Seth Lind is our production manager. Adrian Matherwitz runs our website. Production help from Sean Wynn. Special thanks today to Devin Spurgeon, Chris Bolt, Larry Josephson, Mickey Delaney, Anahita Lani, Craig Stewart, Megan Daum, and Emperor Jones. This American Life is distributed by Public Radio International. Support for This American Life comes from Kohler, dedicated to helping people save water without sacrificing performance or great design. For more information on how you can save water and support Habitat for Humanity at the same time, visit SaveWaterAmerica.com. And by Focus Features, presenting the new suspense thriller The American, starring Oscar winner George Clooney as a master assassin, in theaters everywhere Wednesday. Our website, thisamericanlife.org, where you can get our podcast for absolutely free, or download the This American Life iPhone app, version 2.0.1. WBEZ Management Oversight by Tori Malatia. Every time he sees me in the hall, he taunts me. He taunts me this way.
Hey, everybody, look at the crybaby. Hey, baby. Hey, crybaby.
I'm Ira Glass, back next week with more stories of This American Life.
Why don't you cry some more, crybaby?
PRI, Public Radio International.
Unfortunately, I'm often in my car when I start listening to it, which is a problem because it's just downright dangerous.
Listeners talk about This American Life.
David Sedaris was reading, and I was so entertained by that I nearly drove off the interstate.
And I started laughing so hard that I had tears running down my face, and I couldn't see the pasta boiling.
This American Life, be careful how you use it.